Chapter 10, A Little Hope. Chewbacca made a long, low, mournful noise, what would have sounded like a howl if there had been any volume behind it. It was the sound of despair and frustration and self-recrimination. It was a sound that said no good deed went unpunished. If Solo had been a Wookiee, it's the exact sound he'd have made at that moment, too. The stormtroopers surrounding them didn't move. He heard Chewie, behind him, make another shorter and even gentler howl, and saw out of the corner of his eye as one of the troopers took Chewie's bowcaster. They disarmed Emat next, then came to Solo. Reluctantly, he slid his blaster free from its holster and handed it over.
"I'm gonna want that back," Solo said.
The stormtrooper didn't say anything, just stepped back. A human male, maybe in his early 40s, moved up from behind them and went to the Imperial officer who had done all the talking so far. They spoke for a moment, and Solo couldn't make out what they were saying, but the man remained at her side. There was something vaguely familiar about him. The officer strode forward, her blaster pointed pretty much directly between Solo's eyes, but she held it in such a way that it seemed somehow like an afterthought. It was the same woman from the promenade earlier. But this time, Solo could get a better look at her. She was almost his height, and pretty, too. In an icy blonde sort of way that the scar didn't seem to diminish as much as that terrifying cybernetic eye did. She was brimming with arrogance and self-satisfaction. It was evident in everything she did. Everything about her, from the way she moved to the way she spoke, to the slight contemptuous smile playing at her lips. Solo thought he might just hate her, on principle.
"My name is Commander Alicia Beck," she said. "You are now prisoners of the Imperial Security Bureau. You are outnumbered, outgunned, and with no hope of escape or rescue. Any resistance will be met with force. I say this to make it clear. You have no hope."
"I have a little hope,"
Solo said, mostly to annoy her. It worked. The woman stepped closer.
"No," she said. "You are terrorists. You are rebels."
"I'm not a rebel."
"And you will meet the fate reserved for all enemies of the Empire. You will be interrogated. You will be broken. Then you will be executed."
"You'll never stop us,"
Emat said, behind Solo.
Solo fought the urge to roll his eyes. The woman shifted her gaze from Solo over his shoulder to look at Emat. Her smile actually grew.
"Emat," she said, "how does it feel knowing your team sacrificed their lives only for you to end up in my hands at the end? I should think that would hurt quite a bit."
Emat moved forward, coming shoulder to shoulder with Solo.
"You will never stop us. We will not be broken. However long it takes, we will never stop fighting."
Solo looked at Emat. It wasn't the words, or at least not the words alone. It was how Emat said them. The conviction of them.
It was absolute, and it was fearless. And for Solo, who at that moment wasn't above feeling more than a little worried, if not outright scared, it was both surprising and admirable. He'd yet to find a cause he was willing to die for, outside of his own skin, Chewbacca and the Falcon. He didn't like the Empire, but that was mostly because he didn't like bullies. And as far as he was concerned, that's all the Galactic Empire was. A collection of bullies who rampaged across the galaxy, pushing people around.
Case in point, the Imperial officer now smirking at Emat. But Emat believed what he was saying.
He believed in what he was doing. And not just that, he believed that what he was doing was right and would prevail. You had to admire someone with that kind of conviction, Solo thought. Either that or avoid him at all costs. And it was clearly far too late to do that.
"Never,"
Emat repeated. The Imperial officer lunged suddenly, catching Emat by the chin and pulling him forward.
At the same time, one of the stormtroopers took hold of his arms. Beck's smile vanished, and Solo took the opportunity to take a half step back, closer to Chewbacca.
"You will tell us everything," Beck said. "By the time I am finished with you, you will be begging to tell me everything, Emat."
She released him, and the stormtrooper pulled Emat upright again. Beck turned to the man standing beside her.
"Binders on all of them. Search them. I want a transport immediately to move them aboard Vehement."
"Yes, ma'am."
Chewie tilted his head, and Solo felt hair brushing his ear as the Wookiee rumbled quietly.
"I'm working on it," Solo said.
"Quiet,"
one of the stormtroopers said.
"Sure, sure."
Solo looked around, trying to be subtle about it. There had to be a way out, but he wasn't seeing it. With 40 or more stormtroopers surrounding the three of them, much as he hated to admit it, they were out of moves. If he could get aboard the Falcon, there were options. The ship was plated with military-grade armor that would easily shrug off the small arms fire from the blaster rifles and keep them safe. There were a couple of other surprises packed aboard, too, but it meant getting to the ship. And he could already tell that Beck wasn't about to let that happen. There was no way to get aboard without getting shot to pieces in the process. What else? The bay was littered with exactly the sorts of things he'd come to expect from such places. Crates of replacement parts scattered here and there. The refueling system, its pressure pumps and hoses. That could be a big boom if he could somehow disrupt it. The great big magnetic field generators maintaining the energy barrier overhead. Solo glanced up, saw the shimmering blue. Sirkon's polluted night sky above glowing a dull reddish brown. Misfortune coming slowly into view, riding its repulsors silently. The distant air traffic gliding past beyond the... Solo blinked and nudged Chewie with his elbow, using his eyes to direct the Wookiee's gaze skyward. Misfortune was making a slow turn, almost hovering now. As they watched, the ventral hatch on the yacht slid open, and a moment later, the turret dropped into place, rotating to point at them.
"She's out of her mind," Solo thought.
The stormtrooper without armor, because that's what he was, Solo had decided, was searching Emat and being thorough about it. Another trooper stood with him, holding three sets of binders. Chewie huffed.
"The magnetic shield is still up," Solo said.
Chewie huffed again.
There was a look in his blue eyes.
"It's not my fault."
Solo turned suddenly, stepping closer to the Wookiee until their chests were almost butting.
"And I don't want to hear talk like that again."
"I told you to be quiet,"
the stormtrooper said.
"You tell him to be quiet,"
Solo snapped. Beck glared at them both, and Emat twisted where he stood, his hands now out in front of him, the binders ready to snap onto his wrists. Chewie leaned down and growled loudly, blasting Solo with hot breath and calling him something that Solo would have been ashamed to say to his own mother.
"Listen, furball," Solo said. "You say that again, I'll make you regret it."
"Get your Wookiee under control," Beck said.
Chewie snarled, showing Solo his teeth. He said it again.
"That's it. I've had enough out of you,"
Solo said, and he swung and punched Chewie in the jaw. It was a good punch. And on anyone else, it would have certainly rocked him, if not knocked him back on the seat of his pants. Chewie barely moved his head. He roared, and both hands came up. Then, with all of his substantial Wookiee strength, he shoved Solo, sending him flying back into the stormtrooper behind him. The first collision caused a second, then a third, a clatter of armor hitting the floor, and Solo landing atop the pile. Stormtroopers were pointing their rifles at Chewie, but the Wookiee lashed out, catching one alongside his helmet and sending him tumbling. He grabbed another one and literally swung him at yet a third.
"Stun him!" Beck shouted.
Solo, still atop the stormtrooper Chewbacca had thrown him into, twisted and wrenched the blaster rifle from the trooper's hand.
He thumbed the selector to turn the weapon from stun, raising it and rolling all at once. He put the sights on the generator nearest him and fired. Blaster bolts flew and smashed into the machinery, bursting through its exterior casing, and Solo fired again. The generator blew, exploding into fragments and fire. And then Solo was up on a knee and sighting at the second generator across the bay. He knew it was a much harder shot, but he fired anyway. The second generator blew at once, and above them, the magnetic shield vanished, immediately replaced by the howling of the heated, toxic air rushing into the docking bay. Tiny particles of smog stung his eyes and instantly coated the back of his throat. Solo felt himself immediately beginning to perspire, and just as immediately felt the sweat evaporating from his skin. Everyone was moving at once now. Chewie roaring.
Beck was wheeling around in place, her blaster coming up, and E-Mat and the stormtrooper without armor were grappling with each other.
Get down!
Solo shouted, and launched himself at E-Mat, catching the man around the waist and dragging him to the deck, just as Miss Fortune opened fire from its belly turret.
The first salvo of shots slammed straight into the group of stormtroopers Solo had left behind. He heard shouts, cries of pain, and scrambled to his feet, dragging E-Mat with him. Chewie was already halfway to the Falcon, dropping the ramp, and Solo all but threw E-Mat after him. His eyes and throat were burning from the pollution, the foul atmosphere already feeling like it was corroding his flesh. The heat was climbing. It had its own weight, trying to cook him inside and out. The stormtrooper who had taken their weapons was flat on the ground, face down, hit by the turret fire.
Run! Go!
Another salvo from above, too close for Solo's comfort as he dropped the E-11 and scooped up his and Chewie's weapons. Stormtroopers were firing, but Miss Fortune's salvos were forcing them into cover. And now Solo was racing after E-Mat, who was sprinting for the ramp. Chewie was out of sight, already inside. Solo saw Beck screaming orders, saw her raising her blaster, and then the stormtrooper without armor was pulling her into cover. An instant later, Miss Fortune was racking shots where the Imperial officer had been standing. Solo was almost at the ship when he felt his right leg go suddenly numb as he was grazed by a stun bolt. He managed to collapse on the ramp as it began to raise. E-Mat pulled him forward into the safety of the Falcon.
Chewie, time to leave!
Solo pulled himself upright, using E-Mat and the side of the hull, then half-hopped, half-limped through the main compartment and toward the cockpit. The ship came to life beneath his boots. He could feel it leaping suddenly into the air. Sweat ran into his eyes, making them sting. E-Mat stumbled, and Solo had to brace himself, and then he was in the cockpit and falling into the pilot's seat.
Told you I'd think of something, he said,
reaching for the headset with one hand and taking the yoke with the other. Chewie barked and slapped a battery of switches.
Behind them, E-Mat was taking the navigator's seat and already strapping himself in.
You two play it fast and loose, E-Mat said.
It's worked so far.
Chewie snorted.
I barely touched you.
Solo finished setting the comlink headset in place and turned on the speakers in the cockpit.
I'm the one who's gonna be bruised, pal. Miss Fortune, this is the Falcon.
Figured I owed you one, hon.
This settles my tab?
Not on your life,
Delia said.
You get him?
I'm here, Delia,
E-Mat said.
Nice friends you've got.
Beggars can't be choosers. I'm thinking it's time for all of us to get out of here.
Chewie rumbled in agreement, and Solo rocked the throttle forward, bringing the Falcon off of repulsors and feathering the engines to life. The ship responded, surging and eager, and already outside the canopy, Solo could see the pollution of Sircon melting away, the stars springing into view. Off the starboard side, the Miss Fortune was keeping pace. Wisps of the upper atmosphere streaming from the ship's hull like smoke from a dying fire. The Falcon began bleeding, and Chewie checked his deck, slapped another two switches, and reached up behind him, powering up the weapons. Solo glanced at his sensors and twisted to stab one of the buttons on the navicomputer, bringing it to life.
Angle the deflectors,
he said to Chewie, then pointed at E-Mat.
You better know where we're going.
I know where we're going.
Feed it to the Navi computer.
Solo twisted back. His leg was beginning to throb, the stun wearing off. Ahead of them, and far too big, the Star Destroyer was turning into view. A flight of tiny dots in tight formation heading their direction from beneath the massive vessel.
Delia, 8 marks at 1-1.
We see them! Tice!
How long until you can make the jump to light speed?
Couple of minutes.
Just stay away from that Star Destroyer.
You think?
Destination is programmed,
Emat said as the Navi computer beeped.
It'll take a couple of minutes before the jump is plotted. Can we hold them off?
Solo checked his sensors again, then the view from the cockpit. The TIEs were closing in fast.
I don't think we have a choice, he said.